Today's Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, they have freely scattered the gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Well, it is a joy to be with you and to look at God's Word together with you and to be a part of your Missions Month. You're spending this whole month of May thinking about God's mission, getting updates from your mission partners. And I've been touching base with Dylan and hearing about the things you've been thinking about. And it's been really clearly shown, I think, over the last couple of weeks, how passionate God is about seeing his message about Jesus go out, go to those who don't know him. We heard about the way that God was at work to lead Philip to this Ethiopian eunuch on a dusty road south of Gaza. God disrupted him so that this message might go to this man who needed to hear this message of hope. Last week, Steve Preston's opened up 1 Chronicles 16, where we see the great message that is good news that must be shared, that news is worth sharing. God's desire is very clearly to see that people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue should hear about Jesus and should respond and come and worship him. People in our own community here, the women that Jeanette's reaching out to through Kairos, the students at Newcastle University, God's desire is that they might hear this message of Jesus and that it might impact their lives. But as we think about the task of mission, I think we can sometimes be confronted by the fact that it's a very big job. Did you know that in this world, there are over 2 billion people who will live and die without ever hearing the message of Jesus, unless churches like ours, like this one, are willing to raise up and send and support people who will go and preach the gospel to them. If we're not seeing missionaries go out with the message of Jesus, then tragically many people will not hear this truth. But that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of resources. I have some friends who were serving as missionaries in Cambodia. They had a number of children. And before they could go, they needed to find enough churches and supporters to support them to the tune of over $120,000 a year. That's a lot of money. And it's not just money, is it? They need people to be praying for them. They need people to be supporting them and giving them time. And we need more people to be going with them. But the struggle is that as we think about that great big task of mission out there, we also see huge needs right here. There's so much to do in our own community, isn't there? I looked up the statistics. You know, in Burwood, there are about 16,000 people living in the suburb of Burwood. At the last census, 45% of those 16,000 said that they have no religion. Another 15% describe themselves as either Buddhists or Hindus. I mean, 60% of the 16,000 people living here, I can't quite do the maths, but I think it's about 10,000 or something, need to hear the message of Jesus. How can we do that? How can we be making a real difference in the world with our limited resources? How can we make a significant difference in God's mission given the size of the task? It feels like we don't have enough to give. Our eldest daughter, Hannah, who some of you will know, recently got her first job. It was very exciting. She's now taking pizza orders at Crust Pizza in Croydon a couple of nights a week. She'd been looking for a job for ages, and we're all praying and hoping she'd get one, and she got this job, and it's great. I mean, the job's not that great, but she gets paid. That's great, because it means that now when things are happening, you know, oh, going out with friends, I'm going out to dinner, I've got to buy a birthday present, means she's not coming to us saying, can I have money? Because it seemed like that was just always happening, yeah? And you want to give to your children, but resources are limited. It feels like that too with mission, doesn't it? There's so much to do. How do we have enough time? How do we have enough energy? How do we have enough money? How do we have enough people to be able to send people out and still do what needs to be done here? Well, the passage that we're looking at this morning, 2 Corinthians 9, helps us to think about that exact question, because what we hear here is Paul encouraging the people in the church at Corinth to be generous, to be abundantly generous. Now, the situation was that Paul had helped to start the church at Corinth, and he wasn't with them anymore, but he was helping a number of churches in that part of the world, which is around Greece and Macedonia and that area. He was helping them to raise money to send to Christians all the way over in Jerusalem, because there was a famine going on. Now, this was 1,300 kilometres away. But Paul's encouraging them to be generous for the needs of these people far away, even though I'm sure there were huge needs right where they were. So as Paul encourages them, we too can learn what it is to be generous. How can we be generous? We know that God wants us to be involved in the great work that he's doing around the world, but how can we do that? Well, in this passage, and I hope you'll have it open in front of you because I want us to look at it together, Paul tells us three really important things that will help us understand what generous mission looks like. And the first thing he says is that generous mission is something that comes from your heart, not your wallet. Generous mission is something that comes from your heart, not your wallet. Look at verse 6. He says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there are sort of two reasons Paul gives here. Firstly, he says, if you are generous, then you will experience generosity. If you're stingy, then you won't. And he uses this image from farming to kind of say, that's just the way the world works. If you're a farmer and you only sow a few seeds, then you will only reap a few seeds. But if you sow many seeds, then you will reap many seeds. And he's saying that same principle applies. If you are generous, then you will experience generosity to you. But does that mean he's saying if you give lots of money that you will get lots of money? Because there are certainly people who say that. But no, that's not what he says. And we know that's not what he means because of what he says in verse 7. He says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't say, each of you should give as much as you possibly can because then God will bless you. He's saying it's not actually about how much you give, it's about the heart with which you give. We are to give cheerfully. We are to give generously, yes, but not under compulsion. God doesn't want us to be given reluctantly or giving more than we feel we can bear to give. He wants us to give cheerfully. To put it negatively, he's saying, God doesn't approve of people just giving out of a sense of duty. God doesn't approve of people just giving because they think they have to. It's a bit like when I buy my wife flowers, which doesn't happen as often as it should, just ask her. But she does like getting flowers, But to be honest, I'm not a natural gift sort of person, you know. It's not my love language, if that makes sense to you. But I do it, and when I do it, it's important that I don't just come and say, here you are, a bunch of flowers. I have now fulfilled my husbandly duty. Because that's not the point, is it? She wants me to recognize that as I give her the flowers, that's an act of love. I'm doing it cheerfully. I'm doing it generously. It's about the heart that goes with it. And it's exactly the same when it comes to support of God's mission. God wants us to do it cheerfully, rejoicing at the privilege that it is to be a part of what he's doing. And you know, I think that's why the New Testament doesn't focus on how much we should give. It focuses on how we should give. You see, in the Old Testament, it was very clear how much you're supposed to give, right? The Israelites were told they have to give a tithe, and then they actually had to give like another tithe as well. And if you do the sums, they were actually probably giving more than 20% of what they earned to God or to God's work. But in the New Testament, there isn't nearly as clear an emphasis on a tithe, because the emphasis is much more on your heart. It's not a matter of how much you're giving or how much time you're spending. It's a matter of the heart. So when we think about supporting God's work, let's examine our hearts. Can we do it cheerfully? Can we, with joy, give time to praying for Tim and Nicola for their work at Newcastle? Can we joyfully join with Jeanette as she goes and serves at Kairos, praying, being a part of that ministry? Can we joyfully support people financially? And if that's not the case, then it's time to pause and look at our hearts. See, if you have trouble being generous, don't look in your wallet and go, oh, that's the problem, there's not enough in there. Look at your heart and think, Lord, why do I find this so hard? Because sometimes it's because we actually see our time and our money and our effort and energy as things that are just there to give us comfort and security. See, if we put them in the place of, if we see them as the things that will meet our greatest need rather than God, then we'll find it very hard to be generous. So generous mission is about our heart, not our wallet. The second thing Paul says is that generous mission comes from God, not from us. Look at verse 8. He says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, Paul's saying, you can be generous because actually it's God who provides for everything anyway. And God will provide for you so that you can be generous. So generosity is actually a reflection of our relationship with God more than it is about our capacity to give. And then he supports that by quoting this verse from Psalm 112. He says, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now that sounds a little strange, doesn't it? It sounds like what he's saying is because they've freely given their gifts to the poor, then they will be righteous forever. It's like the first half proves this, or is the result is the second half. But actually, when we see a little reference like that from the Old Testament in the New Testament, then what Paul's actually saying is, remember what it says in this whole psalm. And Psalm 112 isn't just about that. Let me read you the first verse of Psalm 112. It says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. See, the whole psalm is actually about being in a right relationship with God. It's about fearing God. It's about delighting in his commands. And as we do that, he provides for us, and we're able to give gifts generously to the poor. See, as Paul goes on, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Being generous is about being in right relationship with God and seeing the way that He provides for us. When we're in right relationship with God, we realize that everything that we have is from Him. All the bread that we have, all the seed that we have, all the time that we have is from Him. And then we're able to be generous with it. It reminds me of a little social experiment I saw a video of a little while ago. There were these guys who, it was in America, they had, you know, hidden cameras, it was one of those sorts of things. And they went up to people on the street who were eating pizza, and they said, "Can I have a piece of your pizza?" And all the people they asked said, "No, oh, it's my pizza. You get your own pizza." And they asked lots and lots of people and got the same response. But then there was a man who was homeless, who was, you know, begging for money, and they gave him a pizza. They said, "Here, man, have a pizza. We've, you know, got one left over." And so he's, "Oh, thanks." And he starts enjoying his pizza. And then one of their friends, you know, he didn't know that, came and sat next to this homeless man and said, "Can I have a piece of your pizza?" What does the homeless man do? "Sure, absolutely. Have some pizza. Let's enjoy this pizza together." Now, why was he so generous? It's because he realized that the pizza was a gift. He hadn't earned it. He didn't deserve it. It wasn't his. He could be generous with it. Everything we have is a gift from God. He provides for us. Every heartbeat, every breath we take is a gift from God. Every coin we have is a gift from God. Every moment we have is a gift from God. You see, when we have a relationship with God that helps us to realize we are completely dependent on Him, then we are free to be generous. We are free to give to others. We are free to participate in God's great work around the world. But do you know why we find it so hard? It's because we live in a world that tells us the complete opposite. We live in a world that tells us everything we have, we've earned. Everything you have, you deserve. And there isn't much stuff out there, so you need to work hard to make sure you have enough. In fact, if you don't protect your needs, then you'll go without. I mean, we've seen that through the election, haven't we? I'm sure you've seen the ads, right? "It won't be easy under Albanese," with a dollar sign. "Can you afford more Morrison?" we saw. Or that very irritating song, "There's a hole in your budget, dear Labor, dear Labor." Did anybody see that? No? All of those ads are playing on this belief that the amount of stuff out there is very limited. There isn't enough to go around. And if somebody else has stuff, then you're going to miss out. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible actually teaches us that God provides for us abundantly. You read the creation story. When God makes birds, He doesn't just make a bird. He makes millions of birds, all different kinds. When He makes fish, He makes many different kinds of fish. When He makes plants, there are many different kinds of plants. The creation is an abundant creation. And even outside of the Garden of Eden, as God's people are in a relationship with them, He provides for them. When Israel's wandering through the wilderness, He provides water from a rock. He provides manna from heaven. He leads them into a promised land where they have all that they need. See, when we're in right relationship with God, we realize that all that we have comes from Him. And Jesus reinforced this teaching. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 6. "I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" See, the whole story of the Bible is God loves to provide for His people. And we live each day in dependence on Him. Everything we have is a gift. And so we can be generous. generous mission comes from God. We are just the conduit of that. We are just the means by which it's distributed. So generous mission reveals that it's from our heart, not our wallet. It comes from God, not from us. And the third thing Paul shows us is that generous mission ultimately leads to praise for God, not praise for us. Look at the end of verse 11. He says, through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And in verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. As we give generously to God's work, as we support God's work around the world, it leads to praise to God. And why is that? Well, it's because it's evidence of the gospel at work in our hearts. That's what Paul says. He says, people will praise God because this is actually evidence that the good news of Jesus is transforming your heart. See verse 13. By your service, by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God. Why will they praise God? For the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. Your obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Paul's basically saying that your generous gifts are proof that the gospel is what's shaping your heart. Your generous gifts are proof that the gospel is what's shaping your heart. And so people praise God. Now, why is it proof that the gospel is shaping your heart? Because while God's generosity is seen all through creation, the greatest act of generosity of God is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the sending of his Son to die and rise again for us. You see, our God is so generous that when he saw us rebelling against him, going our own way, ignoring him, trying to be our own little gods, God loved us so much that he gave his Son. He sent his Son to enter into our pain, to take our punishment, to set us free, and to bring us into a relationship with him. That's the gospel. And when we recognize that incredible truth, then that grace changes our hearts. That grace leads to generosity. And so when people see that in us, those whom we support, those whom we pray for, those whom we encourage and raise up and send out, they see evidence of the good news of the gospel and they praise God. So that's what it says in verse 14. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. God's grace in you, in the gospel, leads to your generosity. And so people praise God. See, it's a little bit like if I had discovered a magic vitamin pill that did all the things that vitamin pills are supposed to do, right? Which they don't. Imagine if I found this vitamin pill and when I took it, I suddenly had all the energy I needed. I suddenly, you know, the bags under my eyes disappeared and my love handles dissolved and my wrinkles went away and suddenly I was really strong and I looked like I was 22 again. If there was a vitamin pill that did that, then everybody would go, wow, that vitamin pill's really good. They would praise the vitamin pill. Now, that's a bit of a silly example. But the point is, when we are generous, then we are actually living out the gospel. We're living out the generosity of God. And people see that and they praise God. That is what generous mission looks like. It reveals our heart, not our wallet. It comes from God and his abundant provision. And it leads to praise for God because it confirms the truth and reality of the gospel, which transforms us. So let me encourage you to look at the world and the task that God has given us and realize the joy that it is to participate in that. Realize the opportunity that you have to be a means of God's generosity, to reflect God's generosity. How can you use the time that God gives you to encourage Tim and Nicola in their work at Newcastle Uni? How can you use the time and effort God has given you to pray for Jeanette and the others at the Kairos weekend? And the other mission partners that you have, how can you be generously supporting their work towards God's goal of seeing people from every nation, tribe, and tongue bowing before the throne of Jesus? And what about the church here? I think we all have a tendency to look around our church and think, oh, if only we had more people. If only we had more, you know, people able to do things and serve and get involved, we could have a real impact. We could really impact those people in Burwood who need to hear about Jesus. But the danger is that we can get so focused on what we need here that we don't see the opportunity of raising people up to send out. I mean, Burwood Baptist has an incredible history of sending people out to serve God, to take the message of Jesus out to the ends of the earth. I hope that your prayer is that that will continue to happen. That God will be raising up workers for his harvest field, as Jesus says in Matthew 9, from here. Maybe they're young people that you know. Maybe they're older people that you know. Maybe it's you. How can God be raising up workers for his harvest field? How can you be generously giving to God's great work? We need to examine our hearts, I think, because we're very much in danger of buying the lie of the world that we live in that says everything you have is yours and there isn't very much to go around, so you need to be very careful with what you do with every dollar. You need to be very careful how you use your money and your time and your effort. We need to realize that we are people of a generous God, who demonstrates his generosity to us every day, but most clearly in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And as we join him in that generosity, we experience incredible blessings. As we sow generously, we will reap generously. This week I caught up with a friend of mine who's been a missionary in Argentina for about 8 years. And she was sharing with me about the work that she's doing there. She does lots of student ministry, a little bit like what Tim and Nicola do, except in Argentina. But she also shared about a young lady whom she had met through her student ministry who was now working as a missionary in Papua New Guinea, doing Bible translation work. Now, that's the kind of world we live in, where we're sending Australians to serve in Argentina and Argentina's sending Argentinians to serve in Papua New Guinea. It's wonderful. But the thing that I found most encouraging about this story, about this young lady who'd gone out from Argentina, was the way that her church in Argentina had been so committed to supporting her. You see, Argentina is not a very wealthy nation. In fact, last year, their inflation rate was 50%. We got stressed because our inflation rate is 5%. Theirs is 50, which means at the beginning of the year, if you had $100, by the end of the year, it's only worth $66. That's what inflation of 50% means. So there's all sorts of financial issues going on in Argentina, but her church committed that they would give at least 20% of all of their income to support mission outside of Argentina, including supporting her. Now, they don't have a very nice building. They don't have any full-time pastors, but they're generously committed to giving 20% to her. And this friend of mine showed me a letter from this young lady where she said, you know, many Argentine churches have made this commitment because they've recognised the blessings that come from giving. She says she and other Argentine missionaries, quote, have never lacked anything. They're always seeing the faithfulness of God. So, she concludes, I think there are blessings on both sides. There are blessings for the worker on the field who takes the step of faith to leave because they see that God provides in every way. But in addition to this, he richly blesses the church that gives. The churches that give with a generous heart are blessed by God. That's the sort of God that we serve. A God who is generous. A God who generously provides for us and doesn't want us to fear. Doesn't want us to fear not having enough, but encourages us to generously participate in what he's doing around the world. As our hearts are transformed by his gospel, I pray that we will live it out that way as generous supporters of mission. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to know you, our generous Father. You have loved us so deeply in our Lord Jesus. You have given us all that we need, and you continue to provide for us each day. Lord, help us to live dependent on you and participating in your great work, seeing this message of life going to the ends of the earth. And our hope, Lord, our prayer, is that all praise will go to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.